And let's start with verse 10. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Our thoughts have been, past 3 weeks or so, has been of the snipers down in D.C., sniper or snipers, you know. And people wondering how a person could be so evil as to just wantonly shoot people. You know, and probably we may never know what these people really had as a motive. I don't know. Maybe that'll come out, maybe it won't. But with the arrest this morning, well, at least it was interesting to see on TV the one broadcast tonight that I saw. They were in one of the malls, or not the malls, but the plaza where one of the shootings took place. The parking lot was just filled with cars. And it struck me, you know, that during the week, all these parking lots were empty, you know. And in one of these D.C. suburbs, why, just the parking lot was just full of cars. You could see the fact that people have come back out and they are starting to have a confidence again that it's safe to come out of the house in Maryland, you know. And it was really really interesting the way it struck me. It just came all of a sudden. It was there, you know, in the parking lot, just full of cars. Just like we see up here at Office Max or up at Wegmans, you know, but we think nothing of it. But down there, it's been a dearth of travel and a dearth of being out in the public, you know, and it's been a different situation. The verse here that Tim gave us was, I believe, was verse 12, wasn't it, Tim? Did we have this one last summer?
No, I thought the lady was from Psalm 64.
Okay, all right. Okay, one of the verses of the five, all right, okay. But this verse, anyway, was one that I looked up as I was cross-referencing from where I was coming from in Jeremiah. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And then Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34. And verse 21. His eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his goings. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he will not lay upon man more than right. And of course, that then right is in italics, so that's not in the original. But he will not lay on man more. Perhaps it's more than he can bear, you know. That he should enter into judgment with God. Often when man gets, Job was in a situation, this is Elihu, but Job was in a situation there where everybody was telling him, just, you know, his wife even was telling him, curse God and die, you know, this is too much, you know? And Elihu says here, for he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. God takes us through deep valleys sometimes. Sometimes we're on mountaintops. Sometimes we're just kind of cruising along the side of the hill, but sometimes we're in deep valleys, you know. But God will not give us more than what we can bear. It says in the New Testament, he will not tempt us beyond that which we are able. He'll provide a way of escape, right? Provide a way of escape. And we need to remember that. God does not give us more than we can bear. We have to dig deep sometimes, but he will not give us more than we can bear. His eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings, and there's no darkness or shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Boy, what a statement, especially in what we've heard this week. Back a couple chapters, Psalm 32, up a few chapters. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Oh, let's go to verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when you may be found. Surely, in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Salah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as a horse or as a mule which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. He'll guide us with his eye. You know, an eye, and many of us that are married, maybe even just father, just kids with their parents, right? You can tell just from the way your parents look at you sometimes. You can remember that probably those of us adults too. Just the way parents look at you, you know exactly what's going through their mind, you know. And the parents know what's going through the kids' minds too sometimes, especially when they're about 4 or 5 and they have that mischievous look. You know, I love looking up and down into the grandkids and see, can almost smell the wood burning, and to hear the gears moving, But God, the Lord says here, I will guide thee with mine eye. In order for him to do that, we have to be looking at him, right? You can miss a lot of eyeball instruction if you aren't looking. And it's important to be looking towards the Lord and in his word and in daily conversation with him, so that we can see the little subtle guidances he gives us in his word as we read and study. What was that psalm you had, Tim, Psalm 64?
I think it's 34.
Okay. There we go. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them. Well, I had this later on. Okay. That's right. I knew I'd read that one. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Boy, what a statement that is. To cut off remembrance of them from the earth. Another one we're not going to turn to, but Deuteronomy, there's two passages where he talks about Jacob and Israel. Deuteronomy 32:10, he says, he found Jacob in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And talking about Israel, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. What's the apple of his eye? What's the apple? Anybody ever looked at it up in Strong's? I've heard that verse many years. Anybody ever looked that up? I finally looked that up in Strong's. And it's talking about the pupil, okay, the pupil of the eye. And the very smallest part of the eye, but the part of the eye gate, that's the gate that the light gets through, right? That's the most important, well, probably the main important part of the eye besides the retina is the pupil. If the pupil is fogged over with a cataract, you don't see anything, you know? But I thought it was, I had no idea what they were referring to until I actually looked it up today, or the other day, in my CD on the computer there. He that touches you touches the apple of his eye. You know, that's the part of the eye you protect. You know, and God was protecting Jacob, and he was protecting Jerusalem and Israel in the second passage here in Zechariah 2:8. There's several other passages that talk about the eyes of the Lord being upon us. In Proverbs, it talks about a young man or a husband, husband actually, because it talks about letting your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Why wilt thou, O my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. You know, and reminding us as we were talking about Sunday, as Tim, you spoke Sunday, right? Sunday morning? Yeah. As Tim spoke Sunday morning on integrity, just in that same light here in Proverbs chapter 5, 18-22, that Solomon is just questioning, why would you allow yourself to be ravaged with a strange woman? You know, in the New Testament, Paul teaches about knowing that that he that is joined, you know, that he was into a harlot is joined to a harlot. Become why? And it says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. And that's probably the last thing that a man is thinking of when he gets tempted and drawn away. But the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. And wherever we are, God sees us. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall behold him with the cords of his sins. It said, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In James. Then an interesting passage in Second Chronicles, which is, I think, where we were in the Daily Bread the other day, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. Second Chronicles 16, let's look at this one. There's 2 points in this one about King Asa, which I thought were kind of interesting. And that's where I got the first thought about this phrase, eyes of the Lord. Second Chronicles, chapter 16, and let's start at verse 7. What had happened here is that Asa, in the first part of chapter 16, Asa had formed a league with Syria and made war on another king. And in verse 7, it says, at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward him. There's a good one for you, Tim, for a memory verse. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein you've done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, you shall have wars. And Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And then it says something interesting in verse 11. Behold the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they're written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was distressed in his disease in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Interesting little sentence just inserted in this account of Asa. You know, that's one thing Bruce chides me about, you know. He chides me if I have a problem. Well, if you ask somebody to pray for you, and I've gone to the men to pray for you, or you just going to doctors, you know. I don't know whether he gets that from here or not, but or from the passage in James where it says if someone's sick, they'll call the elders over for have them anointed with oil, you know. But here's the second passage, a reinforcing passage of that passage in James. 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet till his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now he had already been taught that by depending on man instead of the Lord, his country, his kingdom was going to have a lot of wars following. And yet in his later years, as he got older and not able to get around because of his feet, he didn't go back to the Lord, but he went and drew to him physicians. And he slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. Well, I was just hearing on the radio sometime this week or last week of the story about the woman who had the issue of blood. And she had gone to many, received much pain under many physicians. I forget how that's worded, but basically she suffered under many physicians, I think was the word, right? She suffered under many physicians. And this fellow here apparently had the same problem. You know, he went to the physicians first. He didn't go to the Lord. And this woman, the same way, but the woman did go to the Lord. And Asa did not. But it says here that, I love that verse that, I think was the verse that was in the Daily Bread. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect before him. That's an interesting thought, that as the Lord wants to see where our heart is before him. And it says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth, in the whole earth, to show himself strong on their behalf. Great thought. Great thought. Great encouragement for us to have our hearts positive with the Lord throughout the week, throughout our lives, whether as teenagers or whether as young couples or older. Where's our heart? The eyes of the Lord, it says, at least in this instance, ran to and fro, looking for those whose heart was right before him. And then the last passage in Jeremiah. No, let's stay right. Let's just leave this one. Let's just leave it at this one because Jeremiah is a little bit goes off on a little bit different track. Remember the different phrases. It's an interesting study. These are just about eight passages out of about 35, I think, where the eyes are mentioned. Not all of them the eyes of the Lord, but where eyes are mentioned. And our vision. Our vision needs to be fixed on him. And we can't be guided by his eye if we're not looking for it. Just as that child is going to miss the instruction of their parent if they're not watching the parent. So let's see, watch where our eyes are this week and where our heart is this week as we go out of here and go back into the world and see how the Lord can guide us and what we can do for him and where our heart's going to be as we leave here tonight. Jason.